Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
And we are broadcasting live from Memphis, Tennessee. Ladies and gentlemen, Keith Alexander in studio doing a superb job. Hour one, we expect more of the same. Hour two, James taking care of business and not in studio. I'm Sam Bushman filling in, and I am from the Olympic Beehive State of Utah. Hope you're all doing fantastic. Now we got the Rocky Mountain States in the South teaming up for solutions, standing up for our right to keep and bear arms. Keith Alexander in studio. Welcome to the broadcast, my friend.
Thank you, Sam. And, you know, we're both part of Red State America, even though you're in the interior West and I'm in the South. We're part of the same basic subdivision of America, Red State America. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is this. Who do you think it was that predominantly settled the interior West? It was Confederate refugees after the Civil War that were looking for a better life after the South had been decimated by the depredations of people like Sherman and Grant and Phil Sheridan. And that's why all the cowboys in the old movies that we used to see when I was a kid had Southern accents.
And that's why they were all armed, and that's why they said, "Go West, young man."
Exactly. And that's where the gun culture comes from. And again, we've always maintained that it was Southerners who had the proper instinctive understanding of the Founding Fathers and the founding documents of this nation, like the U.S. Constitution.
Well, the proof is in the pudding. They stood for states' rights against a federal tyranny, if you will. And now the same issue, sir, is right before us. It's almost like we're back in the 1860s in a way, isn't it?
Well, you know, that's very astute of you. This is a very teachable moment. A lot of present-day Americans have bought the propaganda that the Civil War was fought over slavery. It was not fought over slavery. I can guarantee you that most white Americans, who were the predominant racial stock of America at that time, both North and South, were not so enamored of black people that they were willing to sacrifice their sons, their fathers, their husbands, and their brothers in a crusade to free black people. It was the South that seceded from the North, not the North that seceded from the South. And why did the South secede from the North? They seceded from the North because they were tired of being commissarded by a distant federal government that was in the hands of people that despised and hated them. They knew that they were the only part of the country that was essentially paying tariffs, and tariffs were the primary funding vehicle back in those days for funding the federal government. There was no income tax until the Civil War, and then they had a brief interlude during the war when they had a income tax. Then you didn't have an income tax until the 15th Amendment was passed in the Woodrow Wilson administration.
Then you're talking 1913, and then it wasn't even a tax that, it existed on the books but wasn't enforced until they had an excuse for World War II, and that time never let it go. So the
and
South
furthermore,
was right on the
at that time, Sam, they had this. They thought about having a proviso in there saying that the tax could never get higher than 5% of anybody's income, but it was they thought that was not a good idea because if they put a 5% target out there, then it would eventually rise to 5%, and they thought there's no way in the world it could ever raise to 5%.
You got that right, and sadly, it took till 1945-50 till it started getting above 5%, and now it's just through the roof and getting worse. For the Sandy relief, for example, they just put $51 billion into that. The reason I go off on that really quick is because all the congressmen and senators are running around talking about how good of a job they did. Just like Davy Crockett did. He went back and said, "Hey, I'm doing a great job." And a farmer said, "Sir, it's not yours to give." And Davy Crockett then stood on that principle for the rest of his life, sir.
Yep. You know what his life's motto was, Sam?
Go ahead.
He said, "I leave these words for others when I'm dead. Be always sure you're right, then go ahead." In other words, don't calculate the political cost. Don't calculate the popularity, win or loss. He was just the opposite of today's politician that wets his finger and sticks it to the wind and tries to find out which way popular opinion is going. He said, do the right thing, and you can always live with yourself, regardless of how it turns out.
And I say amen to that, and let's keep that ideology moving forward. And by the way, you're due for the second verse, sir.
Oh, okay.
We're not letting you off the hook on this now.
Let me see if I can recall it. Fought single-handed through the engine war till the creeks were whipped and peace was in store. And while he was handling that risky chore, made yourself a legend forevermore. Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. We promise and we deliver on the political cesspool always. By the way, make sure you get thepoliticalcesspool.org. Get the book, Racism, Schmacism, from James Edwards. I'm telling you right now, in Barack's second administration, as Barack really is a lame duck going for broke, destroying all of our rights, and we're going to get into our right to keep and bear arms in a couple of seconds here. But my point is, racism, schmacism is more relevant in this second term than ever, Keith.
Well, racism is just one of numerous terms of anathema that the left uses. They developed them in the 1930s. There was no such thing as racism before the 1930s when a Marxist came up with it. And he used it basically to demonize white people. And the reason they did this was this is a time of, this is a decade when cultural Marxists and Leon Trotsky reached the very same conclusion, which was that the true fault line in human society was not, as Marx and Engels had thought, economic class or status. It was not gender. It was not religion. The real fault line was race. And they said that if we build a Marxist revolution based on race, that is an enduring fault line that we can build on. They said that the white working class in Europe and America was totally unsuited for their historic role as the proletariat or spear point of the revolution, because all you had to do is wave a little prosperity in their direction and they'd abandon the revolution and become good little bourgeois wannabes. He said, on the other hand, the animus that all non-whites bear towards the white race is enduring and true, and it comes from the fact they were all either defeated by white people militarily or dominated by them economically.
And it comes from the inherent human thing. Anybody who's different's got to be weird, got to be a problem, got to be not accepted, right?
Right. Well, the only people that try to rise above that are whites. Every other group is totally partisan. Look at the results of the last election. 78% of non-whites in America voted for Obama, and they didn't vote for him because they're committed liberals. They voted to him because he was a non-white candidate, and it was a way to stick your thumb in the eye of white people.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Back in seconds, we're going to talk about gun control for the rest of the hour. We believe in the right to keep and bear arms. Do you? This is The Political Cesspool.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson, and it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
Well, I hope not. Now, get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength,
in body and mind. He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
When the truth is found,
welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, Sam Bushman filling in for James Edwards. Have no fear, Keith Alexander's keeping me on target. He's in studio, so am I, and we're talking about gun control. I want to talk about Piers Morgan. It's strange that they have a Brit playing ground zero when it comes to the guns in America. Isn't that strange on the surface there, Keith?
Well, you know, with Piers Morgan, the English think they don't even need a written constitution. That's why things have gone so badly over there for them. And Piers Morgan is a typical example of a product of the English class system. He came from a privileged background, went to one of these so-called public schools, quote-unquote, that are actually the snootiest, snobbiest private schools you could imagine, and he looks down his long nose at virtually everybody in the world. But he's supposedly taken on the mantle of being the great egalitarian, and as usual, he has the typical European disdain for red state America and its values. So anybody that, you know, bitterly clings to their guns as and their religion, as Obama confided to a fundraising group of insiders, he's right on target with that. He's down with that, and he's ready to show Americans just how inferior they are, particularly red state Americans, and how they need to get more like him.
And I think it's amazing that we in America let the Second Amendment, the supreme law of the land, I might add, be on trial by the British in our own America, on our own news channels. I mean, it's just beyond imagination. But if that's not enough for starters, then Piers Morgan starts to have different people on his radio or his TV program. And he has on a lot of different people, and he gets in their face, and he talks over them, and he belligerently shuts them down. And he does so in his British mocking tone. And so what happened was then they picked the ultimate person to never let that happen, which is Alex Jones. So Piers Morgan has on Alex Jones. Alex Jones thinks in his mind, hey, you know what? He's not going to shout me down like that. Nobody does that to me. And you know what? Alex is right. He's got the facts in order. He always does. He delivers. But the problem is, in my humble opinion, Piers laid in wait for Alex Jones.
Well, we live in a world where style triumphs over substance, and Piers has the style, but Jones has the substance.
Amen to that fact. All right, so here's the soundbite from Alex Jones. All I did was picked out the little part because the interview is too long, But here's where I think Alex Jones, he got the facts right. I support Alex, but I'm telling you, Jones got taken advantage of by Piers Morgan. Here we go.
Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Doesn't matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken. We will not relinquish them. Do you understand? That's why you're going to fail, and the establishment knows, no matter how much propaganda, the Republic will rise again when you attempt to take our guns. My family in the Texas Revolution against Santa Anna, my family was at the core on both sides starting that, because Santa Anna came to take the guns at Gonzales, Texas. Pierce, don't try what your ancestors did before. Why don't you come to America? I'll take you out shooting. You can become an American and join the Republic.
You finished?
Yes, I am finished. You will not take my right. You go through background checks to get guns. How about Prozac? You know the number one. Oh, that's the big sponsor, isn't it? Or that whole class of drugs.
Let me ask you a question.
Oh, whoa, got to cut that off, don't you? Don't want to talk about the U.S. number one cause of death is suicide now because they give people suicide mass murder pills.
Calm down.
Your answer is give more money to the psychiatrist and psychologist to put more crazy people on drugs that make them kill people, Pierce.
Let's try and have a debate here.
All right, now there you go. Piers politely waited, asked if he was finished. Alex said yes. Then Alex went on. The bottom line is Alex was like that the whole show. They were supposed to do three segments. They only did two. Alex was mad about that. Now, between you and me, I like Alex Jones. He gets the facts right. No doubt about it. He's right on all the facts through the whole interview. The problem is, in my opinion, Piers just let him almost self-destruct.
Well, you know, he does have a kind of in-your-face style, and quite frankly, with Alex Jones, he, you know, like too many commentators on mainstream media, and he's not really mainstream. I appreciate him for taking on topics that most mainstream people like a Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, Laura Ingraham, people like that would never take on. But the problem with Alex is that he cleaves to political correctness. He will not discuss the two major topics that political correctness has declared taboo, and that's race, one, and two, Jewish power and influence. And you can't solve a puzzle with pieces missing. That's why when you go to court, you're sworn to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, because it was recognized early on by jurists that if you tell partial truths, it's tantamount to lying.
I think you're absolutely right. And the goal here is not to attack Alex Jones. He had the facts correct. He's right on the right to keep and bear arms. He's right on the fact that Americans need to stand up and stop these loonies from destroying our right to keep and bear arms. He's right that if we give up our arms, we're in serious, serious trouble, never to fight again. He's right that the founders moved to take action when the British we're going to take away their arms. That's when the final straw kind of happened.
Lexington and Concord.
Yeah, so he's absolutely right on the facts. My problem with it is you got to kind of remember who your audience is. On his own show where the listeners like Alex Jones and accept his delivery and enjoy that kind of stuff, fine. But you're talking to millions of Americans that are simply right now ready to capitulate and give up their guns because they've been indoctrinated by the government schools for so long and by society's continued anti-gun pitch for so long. That, you know what, when you see Alex Jones, you know, saying you're not going to take our guns, 1776, it's revolution kind of a thing, they're out, buddy. They're going to miss the whole factual reality that Alex is right, and Piers is going to sit there smug like he does, and they're going to agree with Piers, even though the facts are with Alex by far, because of their ignorance. And so you've got to kind of deal with the audience in a reasoned manner, in my opinion.
Well, you know, everybody has bought into this idea that really intelligent discourse is couched in terms of English understatement. People like Bob Whitaker and Alex Jones don't buy into that. They've got an all-American way, a very confrontational, a very, you know, let's cut to the chase and get to it approach. I appreciate Alex Jones's approach, but then on the other hand, I realized everybody's been conditioned to expect reasonable advocacy to follow the lines of Piers Morgan.
And I think we can go in the middle. And what I mean by that is we can have cutting, direct, hardcore comments. We can deliver them in a professional, In my opinion, above reproach, high road style. You can do it with a dignified, you do it very well. Your commentary is incredibly hard-hitting. But you know what? You don't just go belligerent off and talk over everybody and almost make a fool out of yourself. Larry Pratt had an interview right after Alex Jones, and Piers Morgan, in his stylistic fashion, played the Alex Jones segment that I played. He played a little less of it. And then he basically started out by saying, "Hi, Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America. There's your radical friend. What do you think of that?" Well, Piers had been doing that to everybody else, and so Alex did it to Piers. Well, Larry Pratt was wise and did not fall into the trap. He just smirks and goes, "Well, Piers, you acted like that too, and I'm glad you've come to your senses." And Piers kind of backpedaled, and then Larry continued to steadily, I'm going to use the term cane. It's like a caning. He steadily caned him with the facts. He didn't back away. He wasn't hesitant. He wasn't a chicken, but he was very calm, collected, and just delivered fact after fact after fact after fact. At the end, Piers Morgan decided he was going to throw a sucker in the dirt, and he goes, "I'm not your friend." So it just shows the differences in styles.
No fooling.
Right.
Well, you know, I don't think that the people that are arguing for gun control, by whatever name they want to call it now, gun violence or whatever new acronym they've got for it, understand the principles of constitutional law. If something is prohibited in the Bill of Rights of the U.S. Constitution, it was made part of the Bill of Rights because they wanted to put it beyond the power of the majority of voters to affect.
All right, hold on. We're going to talk about that in detail in seconds. Keith Alexander, Sam Bushman, filling in for James Edwards on the politicalcesspool.org. More in seconds.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Did you know that doctors are the leading cause of death? Heart disease is number two, but you don't have to be a victim. Hey, it's Patricia Aiken from CardioPrim. Start reversing the real cause of blocked arteries with CardioPrim Professional Strength Oral Chelation. You can have normal blood pressure and more energy in about a month, naturally, without drugs. It's always a thrill to hear from folks that take CardioPrim for their blood pressure and then can't find their arthritis pain, or find they have normal blood sugar in addition to normal blood pressure, or they don't need their Viagra. It's safe, it's effective, it's affordable, and it's guaranteed. Feel 20 years younger. We've arranged a special offer for Political Cesspool listeners. Go to CardioPrim.com and use TPC for login and password, or call us at 702-449-0044. 702-449-0044. 949-0044. CardioPrim.com.
They don't cry.
To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Frankie Valli in the house. James Edward is not. Sam Bushman in the house. Keith Alexander riding shotgun today, ladies and gentlemen.
Keith Alexander in the outhouse.
No, come on. Actually, he's sitting in the James's King chair, if you will. So he's actually in the hot seat, but he likes it. It's actually got his mic in perfect position, and he's ready to roll. In fact, Keith Alexander has been hitting it out of the park all night, and he's up to bat here in seconds. It's kind of interesting. The statement Keith Alexander made right before the break is where we want to start right now. And that is this. Keith Alexander said, hey, you know what? The gun control freaks, the gun control advocates, they don't understand constitutional law. And that's what we're talking about is the rule of law. We're talking about the supreme law of the land. We're talking about a God-given right of self-defense that I submit to you existed before governments ever dreamed of existing. You have a right to self-defense, and the Founding Fathers were wise enough to simply tell the government, you can't touch this. They codified it in the rule of law, sir.
Well, the Founding Fathers could have chosen anything to protect under the Bill of Rights. If you will recall from the Constitutional Convention, the Constitution could not be approved unless and until a Bill of Rights was adopted. The anti-federalists, people like George Mason, Nathaniel Macon, Patrick Henry, people like this,
Sam Bushman,
insisted upon it. And what they insisted upon in their wisdom were the Bill of Ten Amendments, the so-called Bill of Rights to the U.S. Constitution. Now, the First Amendment, of course, is freedom of religion and freedom of speech. The Second Amendment is the right to keep and bear arms. And the fact that it was incorporated in this Bill of Rights of the Constitution shows that it is beyond debate. The only way that you can infringe upon the right to keep and bear arms is if you go to the trouble of amending the Constitution, which means you have to get two-thirds of the state legislatures to vote to make that change. And they know that with the present configuration of states, they can never get two-thirds of the states to do it.
Thank heavens for red state America, right?
Do what, sir?
Thank heavens for red state America, right?
Exactly. Red state America is the saving grace. But, of course, red state America is despised. And you would think that the elites that despise red state America, if they were honest people, they would say, you know, this marriage isn't working out. It's time to split the blanket. You take your states and you create your own nation according to your own values, following your own lights and your own wisdom. And we'll do likewise up here in blue state America. But as Obama showed, this right to self-determination that we're apparently ready to go to war in Kosovo for, we're willing to go to war in Iraq and in Afghanistan and elsewhere, is to be denied to red state Americans. Why? Because of the reason my ancestors seceded from the Federal Union in 1861, because it's becoming clearer and clearer all the time, Sam. The elites in blue state America despise red state America, its values, its people, everything about us, and they will not rest until we've either been converted or we've been killed. And I really think that, and that's exactly the same conclusion that Southerners reached, which led them in 1861 to secede from the Union. And what is happening with the Second Amendment? There is something very evil afoot here, in my opinion, in the Obama administration. He picked the most provocative, the most irritating, the most aggravating topic that he could, here before he's even taken his oath of office for his second term, emboldened as he was by his victory. And I think he may be trying to provoke some type of violent response from people, and I hope that people have the good common sense not to be suckered into this, because that's what they want.
Well, you're exactly right, and that's why I have a little bit of a problem with the Alex Jones interview, because then you start getting people writing columns, writing a line in the sand, writing come and take it if you can, writing make my
day. The Gonzalez flag that Alex Jones was talking about, you know, that says come and get it, you know, that has a cannon on it from the War of Texas Independence. What's really happening, and what we need to understand, is we need to take a page out of the left's playbook. They perfected the techniques of nonviolent opposition and of offense in the civil rights movement. That was the blueprint in more ways than one for every radical egalitarian movement that has followed: radical feminism, criminal rights, immigrant rights, homosexual rights, environmentalism, the sexual revolution, the drug culture, every aspect
every
of the left's
line.
Assault on American values follows that same path, and we need to take that page out of their playbook and use it, because they know what they're doing, and we can use the same tactics against them.
And what we need to be is smart enough, for starters, though, not to fall into their trap. And I submit to you that if we overreach, if we look nutty, if we go ahead and act like the provocateurs, that isn't going to help us, is it?
Not at all. And let's get back to the
Now, by the way, that doesn't mean that I want to capitulate on this issue. It's how we go about defending it is the question and the issue.
Well, see, it's constitutional law. Yeah, the constitutional law principles are this, okay? The federal government was prohibited from taking actions, governmental actions, by the Bill of Rights of the Constitution. That's the original understanding of the Constitution. The left, led by Felix Frankfurter, and who just happened to be the lone Jewish justice on the Supreme Court at the time of the Brown decision, decided to use what's called the Incorporation Clause of the 14th Amendment to say that basically all sorts of rights in the Bill of Rights thereafter, because of the 14th Amendment Incorporation Clause, not only prohibited or hamstrung federal governmental action, it also applied to state and local action. They had to do that because racial segregation laws regarding public education were either state or local laws, not federal laws. And that's why they made that leap. Well, in the recent Heller decision, the Supreme Court finally got around to ruling that the Second Amendment, just like the Fourth, the Fifth, the Sixth, and all these others, the Ninth, is incorporated by the 14th Amendment into a basic concept of justice, and therefore, really, the Second Amendment applies not only against federal governmental action, which, of course, is what Obama is proposing with all of these executive orders. It also applies to state and local action. So consequently, Mayor Bloomberg, based on that type of reasoning, wouldn't be allowed to restrict the right to keep and bear arms in New York City, for example.
And the problem with
anywhere
this
in
is,
the nation.
The
and
problem with this
me,
is there's no authority, and it turns out to be political overreach and basically writing law from the bench on the fly. With
well,
no
that's
authority.
What they've done, quite frankly, ever since the Brown decision. That's why I say that the Brown decision was the watershed moment in America. It was a moment when the left discovered how to rule America without winning elections or persuading legislators. And that's what, and now we can use that against them with the Second Amendment. And we'll find out just how devoted they are to those constitutional principles. I guarantee you they will that they will jettison them so quickly it'll make your head spin.
All right, we've got Tim from Arkansas that wants a quick comment. Tim, you're on the radio.
How are you doing?
We're doing well, sir. Make it quick. We got a lot to cover.
Okay. Listen, in regard to Alex Jones.
Yes.
I got to disagree with you. I think that people need to understand that you know, that there are a lot of us out here that are very serious, and that while, you know, it's fine to, you know, have a certain, you know, professionalism and composure when you're doing these things. I think too that the reality is that, you know, if you do this, something very bad may happen.
And I think that's a valid point to make.
I think they need to know that.
I think it's a valid point to make, and it's okay to make that.
On the other hand, that's exactly what the Obama administration is depending on. They want someone to go over the top. They're always looking for the right-wing nut job who does this gun violence. But ever since, for example, the Kennedy assassination, they were convinced it was a Klansman. Instead, it turned out to be a hard leftist that had defected to the Soviet Union.
All right, stay there, everybody. Got a quick pause.
I don't want to play into their trap.
I agree with Keith Alexander. Quick pause. Tim, stay there. We'll let you make another comment. I got a couple more to make on this, too. We'll move along in seconds. You are listening to The Political Cesspool on your radio.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Are you looking for an affordable way to earn your bachelor's degree? Do you want a college experience that's more personal? Then discover your future at America's Transfer College. Students across the U.S. are choosing Ivy Bridge College as a better, smarter way to earn their degree. Thanks to Ivy Bridge's unique program, starting at a two-year college and transferring to finish your degree has never been easier. The program is simple. Start with Ivy Bridge College and take your first 2 years of college online. Transfer to one of over 140 of Ivy Bridge's partner schools and take your upper division courses. Then graduate with your bachelor's degree from the school of your choice. Personal attention, small class sizes, affordable tuition, and a clear pathway to graduation. Start your academic journey and contact us to learn more about Ivy Bridge College today. Call 877-622-2059 or visit americastransfercollege.com to find out more.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com. and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, it's getting crazy all at once, ladies and gentlemen. Keith Alexander, Sam Bushman on your radio. So we got Tim on the line, and Tim says, hey, Alex Jones is right. You got to let them know something bad's going to happen in America if they push this gun control issue. I agree with that point, but the question is how we let them know. And I'm submitting that Alex Jones was right on the facts, but you know what? They set a trap for us. Keith Alexander is right. And all you got to do is get a couple of crazies to go over the top. I'm not saying Alex Jones would do that. But you get a couple of guys that say, hey, man, I'm going to take care of business this way. That's what we've got to do. You know what? The first shot starts the war, and all it does is give the federal government the excuse to crack down hard. And you know what? We need to be wiser than that. We need to be more careful than that. And you know what? We're not to the point where we're ready to have blood in the streets, Tim.
And then there's some truth to that, and I'm not saying that that's necessarily the case. However, there have been attempts made in instances where guns have been confiscated in New Orleans, places like that.
Oh, yes.
And you know, they weren't necessarily gentle when they did that. Either they shoved that 84-year-old lady up against the refrigerator.
No, they were a bunch of out-of-control thugs. There's no doubt about that.
Well, Tim, let me say this.
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you could win that war. You can win that war in the media, and maybe a lot of the American people would go along. But if the people, here's the thing. If we're chicken, if we're afraid, then they can do whatever they want.
Understood. So we're not talking about being afraid. We're talking about the best way to gain ground for the right to keep and bear arms, Keith.
Let me say this, if I could. Let me chime in.
By the way,
this.
Thanks for the call, Tim.
Yeah. Let me say this, if I could, Sam. Here is what's happening. We need to be what the Bible admonishes us to be, which is as innocent as a lamb, but as wise as a serpent. Here's what they want us to do. It was Saul Alinsky before Rahm Emanuel who said, never let a crisis go to waste. That's what all of this has come from, the crisis or
yes,
the
sir.
Emergency or the tragedy at Sandy Hook. And they have used it in a very calculated way to try to disarm Red State America. And see, I have this nagging suspicion that I carry in my bones from my ancestors that what they really want to do is have an excuse to eliminate us, to kill us. Remember about 10 to 15 years ago when Jonathan Farley, a black professor at Vanderbilt University, made this comment in regard to a brouhaha that developed over Confederate Hall on the Vanderbilt campus that had been financed and contributed by the United Daughters of the Confederacy. And of course, having a Confederate Hall in a good liberal institution like Vanderbilt just wouldn't do, and they were trying to do away with it. And you had a Tennessee Supreme Court case that dealt with the matter in our favor, by the way. But what Farley said was, the real problem with the Civil War is that Lincoln and the victorious North did not execute every Confederate soldier who had fought for the Confederacy. If they had done that, we'd have a better country today.
Well, and to prove your point,
I don't think he's a voice in the wilderness. I think there are a lot on the left that think like that. I remember Bill Ayers.
To prove your point, Keith, Piers Morgan had on that sportscaster and himself and some lady, and they virtually threatened to shoot Alex Jones. They're out of control. If that had been done by a conservative, they would have had their head. They would have lost their job and everything else. But nobody cared. Alex Jones rightly was concerned about this, but they virtually threatened to shoot him on the air. So your point's exactly well taken.
Well, this is too. Let me just say this, too. There was Bill Ayers, you know, the mentor of Barack Obama in
yes.
Chicago politics, who was one of the SDS, Students for Democratic Society, weathermen, who was involved in that Brinks job where a couple of security guards got killed, told an FBI informant, a paid FBI informant, undercover informant, that when the revolution succeeds, we're going to have to kill about 25% of the people in America. And I know who he had in mind. He had in mind red state Americans like us.
You're right about
that.
Those
are the people that basically Kevin McDonald of the Occidental Observer said once that if they'd had an American Bolshevik revolution, we know who would have gone to the gulags. It would have been Southern whites.
And by the way, if
red state whites. And the reason is, we shared exactly the same characteristics of the white Russians and Ukrainians that were sent to the gulags. We're considered culturally backward and overly religious, and therefore not good candidates for conversion to the Marxist revolution.
You're exactly right. In fact, if you study the eugenics movement, they want a soft kill more than 25%+ of us. Their population control plans and their hostile eugenics agenda proves that for those who go study. We got Adam from outside the United States. You're on, sir. Make it quick.
I have seen the U.S. go downhill since I lived there as a youth in the 60s. The war has been brewing that long, and it's not going to get any easier. So you just have to say tomorrow, Obama isn't our leader, and the whole system that he's got there has to go.
Well, he flat out needs to be impeached, sir.
Pardon?
He flat out needs to be impeached.
No, no, not impeached. Just get rid of him. Get rid of the whole game, the whole federal regime, the whole Federal Reserve money system, everything. Leave it all.
Well, we need to return to the constitutional government that the founding fathers envisioned.
Remember,
that's what the Southerners tried to do in the Civil War.
Freemasons setting up the Constitution for humanism. Go back to Bible law.
Well, I understand
that.
I understand those arguments, but quite frankly, the founding fathers look awfully good compared to what we have leading the nation now.
Well, and what you get is you get this libertarian argument, too, where all government's evil, all government's bad. And it's just a question if you subscribe to that view or not. I personally don't believe that view. Adam, do you want a final comment? Uh-oh, I guess Adam hung up.
Okay, well, anyway.
Yeah, I don't subscribe to that view, though. I do believe there's a proper role of limited government. And the question is, do people believe that or not? If you don't and you want to go libertarian or anarchist kind of style and say, hey, no government, all government's evil, you know, people have the right to that view. I personally believe limited, proper role of government with checks and balances based on common law, based on religious values, in other words, the Ten Commandments. And I believe in the God, family, country view. Your thoughts, Keith?
Let me just hit the nail on the head, if I might.
Please.
What this whole controversy points out is the difference in values between red state and blue state America and the people in blue state America that think like red state Americans. They're the ones that are the targets of this provocation, latest provocation by the federal government. And it gets down to how we conceive of freedom. In red state America, we conceive of freedom as the freedom from interference from the government in our personal lives. In blue state America, they conceive of freedom as the freedom from stress in their life. If there is, for example, stress caused by a lack of the material things in life, then the government should fulfill the material wants, needs, or perceived needs of everybody. That's what they should do. That's why we have the welfare state. They
should bye bye to morality or anything else that stands in their way, right?
Right. If it feels good, do it. And the government is a great facilitator of what feels good. So consequently, we're just on two different wavelengths and we're split down the middle. We have been, at least since the end of the era of good feelings in 1824, when the corrupt bargain argument, you know, in between Andrew Jackson and John Quincy Adams and Henry Clay cropped up. And we've been, a nation is people that share the same heroes, share the same values, share the same outlook, the same religion. And it's obvious that we are not one nation under God, as at least the founding fathers hopefully thought we would be back in the early 1790s.
The same moral code. The list goes on and on. We don't have to agree on everything. We can certainly have a reasoned discussion on the ideas. We could even get belligerent to some degree. That's what America affords the opportunity to. I'm just bringing this whole gun control issue up to say, hey, you know what? We got to be very careful of how we respond, because you get a couple of radicals that go ahead and start shooting people in self-defense or otherwise. At this point, what you'll do is you'll bring down the wrath of the feds with an excuse.
Well, they're waiting to do it. And here's what we need to understand. This is the point I was trying to make. The left has built the superstructure, and we can, as Shakespeare said, hoist them on their own petard, or in other words, hang them on their own scaffold. They're the ones that have come up with this understanding of the Constitution that includes the incorporation clause of the 14th Amendment, and thereby prohibits any type of governmental action. Well, the Supreme Court has put the Second Amendment now within that category of rights. So consequently, if we had the same type of zeal that the left did, we could start attacking Mayor Bloomberg's laws as well as Obama's laws and take them before the Supreme Court. And if the Supreme Court refuses to do anything, then the Supreme Court has shown itself to be intellectually bankrupt and morally corrupt.
And we need to start with patience. We need to start with the rule of law. We need to start with a measured response. I'm not saying wimp out and give up and capitulate by any means. What I'm saying is when you read the Declaration of Independence, they had a very measured response. And no one's coming for my gun right this second. They're talking about it. But we need to have a measured response in return. And we need to move forward and try all avenues before we end up at where they may force it to be. But we got to pray. In other words, we shoot to preserve life, not to kill. In other words, you know what? To me, it's not an assault weapon. It's a pro-life device. We need to start by changing the terms. Start by the rule of law. Keith, final thought.
You're right on. You know, the Second Amendment wasn't passed to preserve the right to hunt deer or ducks.
It was
to protect you from a tyrannical government.
Absolutely, and we shoot to preserve life. We have pro-life devices. Criminals have assault weapons. As soon as we can learn the terminology and deal with things in a proper constitutional measured way, we can gain ground. Hey, thanks for being alongside.